Welcome back to How to Tickle Yourself. I'm your host, Duff McDonald, along with my co-host, Joey of Rockledge.
Hello.
Today's episode is going to be a family affair, back by popular acclaim. One of our first guests way back in season two of this show is Betty McKeon, who holds the triple crown of top mother to Joey, top mother-in-law to me, and top astrologer to everyone. Many of our listeners have had a reading from Betty. Those who haven't should book with haste. You can find her at bettymckeon.net. BETTYMCKEON.net. Remember that for the end of the show when you go to book your reading. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to start with a high-level discussion about some astrological changes that might affect us all, individually or collectively. And then we're going to do a reading, but not a reading for me, not a reading for Joey. We are going to get a reading for one of the patron saints of How to Tickle Yourself, Bob Dylan. Betty's got his chart, and she's going to tell us what makes him tick and what he's got in store. I'll tell you what we have in store, though. I can see this so clearly in my crystal ball that I'm almost sure it's going to take place. In November, Joey and I are going to see Bob Dylan play at the Capitol Theater in Portchester with our friends Joel and Lauren. And then I'm going to go back the next night to see him with my brother Steve and our friends Chris Wall and Jeff Permar. I lost count a long time ago, but if I had to guess, this would be my 35th or 40th Bob Dylan shows. So I can tell you a few things about Bob myself, but Betty is going to tell us things even Bob doesn't know about Bob. So let's get started. Welcome back to the show, Betty.
Thank you, Duff. That was quite an introduction. I don't know if I can live up to it now.
I'm not worried.
At the present moment, traveling town to town, the mystery of the motion, right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
All right, so let's start with stuff that everyone, you know, I know that some people don't realize how important Bob Dylan is, and that's their problem. So let's start with things that everyone cares about, which is all of us. Let's talk about some stuff that you're seeing in the charts coming up that affects every single one of us, either individually or as a group.
There is things coming up. We just came out of what is called a Mercury retrograde. And for people who know astrology, they always go, oh, no, you were born with that, Duff. So it's a great time. People can understand what you're saying. But for the rest of us, it's a difficult time. There's a lot of regrets under a Mercury retrograde. And then you just, and a lot of challenges that come up. But really, it's to be addressed so that it can be eliminated or it can be changed. So there's good things with it. It's great for meditation. So anyway, we just came out of that. September was not volatile, but it was a very changeable month. We've had Venus retrograde for some time, which is about love and money. We've had Jupiter that was direct, went retrograde. And that actually tightens up. Everybody wants to know about the stock market, but it does tighten up money when that happens. And that all took place earlier in September. But October is a really big month. We have several things. We have an eclipse that is going to be taking place in October. And I'll get to that in a moment. But I'm not big in the stock market, but I do know when there's a change in planetary direction in regards to the earth, that it does affect the stock market because it's about cycles. And that's what astrology is truly about, is cycles. So I've heard this so often, and we always have a correction in October. And this is going to take place in October the 10th. So days leading up, about 5 days leading up to the 10th, is when we can see extremes happening. with the stock market. And then the correction takes place. But there's other factors happening this in this month. And I want to talk about the eclipse, because the eclipses come in pairs. We
and
have a
endings,
solar eclipse.
Right?
I'm sorry?
They're endings, right? Eclipses a lot of times will bring in
they're
endings.
Endings and they're new beginnings, but they are, because think about light or the sun being obscured. It's energy. And so it's a diminished energy. Many people think it's very auspicious. I stay inside. Just my gig. I just stay in. I meditate. It's my way of handling eclipse. But eclipses come in pairs. There's a solar, which is the new moon, and then the lunar, which is the full moon. So just to tell you how all of this works, when it's the solar, it's the moon comes in between the sun and the earth. And it's only for a few minutes, but it's very powerful. And when it's a lunar, it's a full moon, and the earth becomes in the middle of and between the moon and the sun. So that's the difference. And so on a full moon, we see the shadow of the earth on the moon, on the full moon. So here's how this works. When they start, many, it takes like 1800 years to go through a whole cycle with an eclipse. But when they begin, they either begin at the Arctic or the Antarctic. And then at that moment is a birth. And so it carries its own chart. It's like alive. It's an energy. So it carries its own chart. So this particular one, I won't go into all the detail, but this particular one carries certain qualities. And if it's activating your chart particularly, then you have an event that will take place that reflects this energy that's happening. Just as an example with this one, it's going to happen at 21 degrees Libra. And that's the first one. That's the solar eclipse. And the solar eclipse is going to be on the 14th, Saturday, the 14th of October. So anyone who has within a degree, 20, 21, or 22 in their astrological charts, they will be affected by this.
And when you say 20, 21, and what does that mean? Like the day of the month, or what are you talking about? Like
it's talking about your own individual chart. There's 30 degrees within a sign, or in so where we're born, we have planetary degrees. And so when it's actually hitting that or actually activating it, there is an event. And how it works is 2 weeks before the eclipse or 2 weeks after an eclipse. So when you talk about a solar and a lunar, they're 2 weeks in between. So you have a period of time of 6 weeks of an event occurring. And usually it's significant. So just as an example, you both are going to get this active in your chart.
Oh no!
I just want you to know that.
I got a question. So in yoga we talk about all of the self, right? So right. Is there a sort of metaphorical explanation for what a solar eclipse means, like to you internally? Or a lunar eclipse, what like where you can say it means that your energy is run down or something like that?
Right. And that's exactly right. Like people who are born on not an eclipse, it's taking the energy away. It's creating something because it's blocking it. In some way, the energy is blocked. And so just as an example, if you were born without an eclipse, but born on a new moon, that means your sun and your moon, which are two very significant planets in astrology, your sun is your energy and your moon is that nurturing part of you. You're the type of person that never changes. you've met those
me
people.
Or someone in general?
Well, this could be anybody that has that. So you no, not you, but you could say oh, that person's they're the same always. My mother had this, and she never changed. She was great all the way down the line. She changed very slightly, but someone who's born on a full moon, it's the biggest projection that you can have spiritually, because you're the opposite. And so you see those people switching places around age 50. They're completely opposite of the way they used to be. So it is significant.
Was Steph born under a full moon?
Well, no.
Okay.
But actually you were born you were born just before the full moon, just hours before. So you did have that. You did have that a complete shift after 50. Mm-hmm. And so this gets a little complicated if you want to hear this. But men identify with their sun sign until age 50. And women identify with their moon sign until age 50. And then they switch. And so men become more emotional after 50 and women less emotional. And what happens is women become more identified with their masculine principle and men become more identified with their feminine principle. And it's
balance,
a really
it's all
interesting
balance.
Thing to really watch that happen. So men become more like women and women become more like men.
We all end up the same by the time we're in our mid-80s. Exactly. You can't tell us apart.
And then you hit my age and you're androgynous.
All right. So before we go to Bob Dylan, tell us one other thing for everybody that everybody needs to pay attention to.
Oh, well, there's a bunch. let me finish with this eclipse because it really is an important thing. So the second eclipse is going to be occurring, the full moon, at 5 degrees Taurus. And by the way, this is the most beautiful full moon of the year. It is absolutely gorgeous. This is the one where you see it coming up and it's huge. And so this is also affecting both of your charts. So I suspect you will have a 6-week period, but Bob Dylan is also getting affected by this. So I can show you Dylan's chart if you'd like, and I'll just show you exactly what I'm talking about.
Let's move into him.
Chart up because he is absolutely brilliant. And so, so what we want to look for, here we go. You guys should see this now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Good.
That's
so,
cool.
So we want to look, we want to see how is this affecting him. And we see that he has 21 degrees moon right here. And this is his career. It's at 20. Remember I said 20, 21, 22. So this is his emotions. And so we look to where, where is that affecting him? Well, this is the house of the teenager. This is, he has this youthfulness to him all the time. And no matter how old he gets, he will always be that way. But it does affect what this is, the house of ancestral karma. And so he's going to bring up, there's going to be some event that will happen with this because the Libra aspect is going to be circumstances beyond his control is what's happening. And really, he should call me. I do a really good reading for him. But the other one, the second eclipse, the full moon, is going to be better than this. So it's going to be sextiling his Mars, and that's his action. And for Bob Dylan, that also takes place with children. And so there's something about playing, having fun, children, that there's an opportunity. But let me just say this, this particular eclipse, Bernadette Brady has done a magnificent job of putting together what she believes is the energy that the eclipses are carrying, and this one is carrying really intense power. This is why it's very important. It's carrying intense power, but it's moving very quickly. So sometimes with this, it can prevent something happening, but it is going to be significant, I do believe, because of the power and the speed of it. So it will be some sort of an event. And for Bob Dylan, that's going to fall in his house of the audience. So
what a surprise. This,
well, it is. It's interesting too. So I just want to go, I hope that was clear about the eclipses. They get, it gets complicated, but 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after. So you're
and what dates are we looking at again? What are the lunar day is what day and the solar is what day?
Okay. So the solar eclipse, the new moon is on the 14th and 2 weeks later on the 28th will be the full moon or the lunar eclipse. So you have the solar, which is new moon, lunar, which is full moon.
All right.
So, I'm not satisfied here. Tell me something about Bob Dylan that is in his chart that is tangible.
Well, I can tell you what's tangible. When I see three or more planets in a sign or a house, there's a sign of a genius. And as you can see, so this is almost as self-explanatory because this is also the house of the teenager. It's the house of refinement. It's the house of words. It's the house of taking all of the senses and heighten them. And more than that, anyone that has really strong energy here, and he has his sun, he has his moon, he has his genius, which is Uranus. We all have a genius somewhere. He has Saturn, which is his grounding and his life lessons. And he has his Venus, which is love and money. And Jupiter, which is inherited from his grandparents, and his communications. He's a Gemini. So he is so versatile. But here's the other thing that I think is remarkable. This Taurus energy is so kind, and it's shy. Now, this is a shy house as well. Gemini that is not shy. So he's got a combination of being shy. And emotionally, I would say he's very shy. The other
emotionally.
Thing, oh, yes, very much so. I think this is the best placement, Moon and Taurus, for the nurturing quality. It's loyalty. It's and he looks for that, I would say, has in the past looked for that from women. And now he's in that phase of being the person who has the loyalty and is also expressing that way of nurturing. But this is, let me tell you, people that have this here, they make great photographers. They see things that other people don't see. It's so detailed. Musically, they can pick up any instrument almost and play it by ear. And they may not even know how they know. He also has a thing in here where it's not just about that. It's all of the senses are heightened. But if you look here, he has his Mercury. That's communications. And it's in the house of Libra. So he's trying to find balance with communications. But this is the key. It's squared to Neptune. Neptune is the illusion. So he has this ability to tap into the highest part of anybody's soul, of his soul, and be able to communicate that to someone. And so he goes very deep inside. It's a great sign for meditation. So I would say, because he is the Gemini and this is the ruler, he probably can meditate like that. And more than that, he is able to convey something that is, because he has his pulse on the collective unconscious. So he can convey things that people aren't thinking, but they're not saying it. And, you know, I always say this, Mahatma Gandhi was that way. People wanted freedom. And Mahatma Gandhi had that same quality that he was able to be the voice for the people that wanted freedom. Well, Dylan is the same way. Dylan has this ability to convey what people are wanting. And they haven't articulated it. I was fortunate to be a teenager during his in the 60s when he first began. And you know, the Beatles came on the scene. And I have to tell you, I tell my clients this all the time. We were kind of bored with Elvis. I mean, we love him. but you know, he wasn't like wild anymore.
How dare you? How dare you?
Well, he wasn't wild. He married Priscilla, and then he was boring after that. He was making movies. We went to the movies, but he was very conservative in regards to the way he was before when we went crazy for him. So we had Ray Charles, we had Roy Orbison. They were great, but we were kind of like, we need something. And the Beatles came on the scene. So people were thinking it, but nobody was saying it. And then Dylan came on the scene. And boy, I'll tell you what, the folk music was great. And everybody loved him because his words, you know, the 60s were very volatile in some ways. It was breaking loose. We were not conservative group. And he was the voice for that. He was magnificent and still is. But his way of communicating and his knowledge of it, I'm sure it was deep inside of him. But again, he's shy. So his cover, I believe, when he's doing interviews, is probably just not saying very much, creating an illusion of who he is. But let me say this too. He's here to do that. This is his past. So this is his, whatever he gets in meditation, for instance, he brings it out to the public. And here's the other thing. With this position, people can be jealous of him and work behind his back, but he knows who they are. And but he always has to be aware that someone can be a little jealous of his position, always. And that's just part of it. And he's here to define his career. And we've seen that with his, he has changed so many times. And I went back and looked at his chart and looked at the years that he went through some significant changes. And it started at age one. And it had to, you know, according to his astrological chart, something occurred with his grandparents. I don't know what that is, of course, but something did occur and it changed it. Where Jupiter is in someone's chart is where we've inherited qualities of our grandparents. And not only that, but his chart is much bigger. His detail is much bigger than other people. He's just a genius. And because of that, I'm sure everything keeps coming back to the same thing. And that is his writing, he's compelled. I'm completely believe that. And I would think that, but he's also very quiet. I think that he's not boisterous at all. He has Sagittarius rising. So he is very much in a world performer for sure, but powerful. And so here's the thing. When he walks into a room, remember now, the astrological chart is what you carry with you, right? So it's your energy. So he walks into a room and he's got all of this energy and it falls in somebody's one area of their life. So you're just like this when he walks in because he's carrying everything. So just as an example, can I share this? I'd like to share two things. One of the things that I want to share is that you see right here, once you'll see it in just a second, but right here, right, once again, all of this he carries with him. And Duff, for you, every bit of this falls in your house of partnerships. So, I want you to see this because here's Duff's chart right here. So okay. He's got 18 degrees Taurus. And if you look at Bob's chart, he's got everything from 20 to 23 falls in Duff's house of partnerships. Well, except for a couple of things, but he's got most of his energy falls in here and your Saturn's conjunct. So what that means is that you can have great loyalty for this man. And that's but true. He really impacts you. You would make a great business partner for him. And essentially that's what you do.
Bob, if you're listening, let's do some deals.
Please. I'll do the reading for free. I can do it for all your children and grandchildren. But so Joey, let me just show Joey's chart. So she has all of her energy which is similar to his, but hers falls in the house of money. He influences money and her self-worth is what happens, and gratitude. So that's where she gets impacted by him. And for me, I can take anything, that any kind of energy he has. I'm very strong. And he doesn't, and he actually, he falls in my house of playing and having fun. So
so you said more
like
than
my child.
More than three planets in one house indicates like a genius in an area. Yep. And he's got five.
He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And this one came into that house at a very young age on top of it. So by the time he was, and this is the other thing I wanted to share. You see this, this is Neptune retrograde. That's about redoing compassion in this lifetime. Hmm. And it's also his intuition. So he was born, this is usually what happens. You're born with guilt when you have it retrograde. But because that's what we've been taught, you know, be a carpet for somebody and you're compassionate. Pity them and you're compassionate. But here, when this changes, because this is his intuition, he didn't have to develop that. It was already there, but he did not trust it. However, at age 11, whatever occurred in his life at that time, he began to trust it 100%. And define
it's interesting because he was doing I don't remember the details, but he was doing on stage with a band in school.
Like I'm sure
that young. Yep.
Wow.
Right, because this is all like teenage stuff. And this is your, like when you're looking at an astrological chart, this for kids, this represents their classmates. And so that was very much, and he, I'm sure he was from the very get-go, he was so musically inclined.
And so just for people that are just listening, the house that has five planets is the sixth house. And you said that's the house of what?
The sixth house is, it's Virgo's house. So people who are Virgos, people that have sixth house energy, these are the people that have the refinement. They're here to refine. So just as an example, people can feel, there's ways to do that, I'm sure. They can feel, they worry. They can worry a lot. This is an expression that is a lack of trust, obviously. But also they can have anxiety because they can't get it perfect. And I think what people have to learn personally, because we all have Virgo energy somewhere. We all have every sign somewhere. So where we have the Virgo energy is where we can worry. That's one thing. Or we can have discernment and then we don't have to worry. And I tell my clients all the time, if you're standing under a coconut tree and it's about to fall, discernment is moving away and not getting clunked on the head. But and we know these things. But this, when I see this much in here, the person is always a teenager. Always. I don't care how old they get. They'll dress like a teen. They'll act like a teen. They think like a teen. So I suspect he's really good with teenagers because he understands them fully.
Forever young.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he does. And I understand he has like 9 grandkids or something. And they must be like, if he's 80, well, how old is he? 80 something?
82.
82?
82. He's got to have some teenage grandchildren. Obviously, that it would surprise me if he didn't. But I'm sure they love him completely. So I wanted to share something else with this chart. So there's a thing called the Yod. It's a Hebrew word that means the finger of God, and it means humility. And it falls in some people's charts, and some people it doesn't. But this is the house of the ancestors, and he's got his power. Pluto is power, and it's in the house of the ancestors as well. And so he has it. It's called the quincunx. It's called the yod to his, what makes him happy. What makes him happy is being alone and doing this by himself. That can make him happy. But also his Mars is in, is affected by this, and that's in the house of communications and networking. So he's a great networker. But here's the thing. when this gets active, which, by the way, it has been all summer, nothing he can do. It's not his choice. Mozart, for instance, had this all over his chart. And I always say he was a great scribe, not a great composer, because you get everything you need comes to you and you just have to write it down. It's like a package deal. But to begin with, he can feel like he's caught between a rock and a hard place when this gets, because you think you can do something about it. But what this is, it's, I had a physicist once tell me that the same principle is in physics, that you see these atoms spinning, and then for no apparent reason, boom, it's like a little explosion and there's an offshoot and it's more evolved. And so he has to keep evolving and listening inside. So the surrender is about listening inside and the willingness to do whatever comes into his heart. And that has been very much, it's very much being stimulated right now. So I know he's understanding that. If he's listening, another reason he should call me.
So that means the shows we go to in November are going to be good.
Oh yeah. So the great thing, here's the great thing about this. It's evolution. And it will bring up, if he has any ego left, it brings it up. But it won't, it squashes it and it makes it evolve. It's an evolutionary aspect. And one of the things about this is that it's quite powerful. And he was, I was looking back and to see if that was active in 1964 when he went to the Newport Folk Festival, because I was sleeping on the beach with my mother. There were 100,000 of us on the beach, but wow. I didn't get to go to the concert, but we did hear he brought that electric guitar up. So he gets used almost like by the universe to make a shift and to make a change. And boy, did he that year. He definitely did. We were kind of shocked, but it started a whole new thing. It was absolutely fabulous. And
I want to be an instrument of God.
You are.
You are.
Oh, okay. You are. We all are. The interesting thing about a yod, it represents the Y in Yahweh. And what it means is you have to come back to the creator, to the principle, because that's where the answer is when this gets active. And you have to have the willingness, as this, I'm convinced of this, you must have the willingness to say yes and no where you have been wrestling inside between guilt and fear, because it breaks through that. And it makes you look like a genius. So it's really wonderful because it's coming from the universe, and it makes you, I always say it's grace personified, even if you don't want it. you have to have it. It blocks you. It indeed makes you detour. So right now, this summer, and right now, especially, I'm sure he's learning that to detour again.
Wow.
And again. But at this point, I'm sure he's surrendered. Call me, please. I love him.
Not the only one.
Wow.
All right.
Really?
Wow, that's awesome, Mom.
So, would you like to know what else is going on?
Yes.
Would you like to know?
Yes, in brief.
How brief?
Well, we're almost out of time.
No way.
Yeah, I know. It's fast, I told you, right? It goes quickly.
I can do 6-hour readings.
We can't do 6 hours.
No, I can't either anymore. I have to charge him $1,000. So, I can go into this. This eclipse is, by the way, is going to affect the United States of America's chart. Oh. And so it's going to be a turning point for sure. A destiny one, but it's a turning point for the United States, especially the lunar eclipse. So that's 2 weeks before, starting with the solar eclipse and 2 weeks after.
And can you tell where it's hitting? Like it's a turning point in.
Well, let me show you the chart of the United States and you'll see how unique we are as well. And this is going to be, okay. So let me put up this one. Where are you? There you are. Okay. So this is the chart of the United States. And you can see we're geniuses. Again, sometimes. Isn't that amazing? This is the area of other people right here, or other countries.
What, these empty ones here?
Well, even the empty ones, what you go back to is the ruler. So just here, this is, you know, like Dylan's chart. And this, by the way, he would fill this up. but here, you go to Venus, because Venus is the ruler. And here's Venus right here. And we're very generous. Venus, Jupiter is very close together. And that includes, that's a lot of generosity. And because this is the chart of the United States, instead of a person being here, this is other countries. And we are very generous. Here we feel an obligation to society. And here is another indication of that. This is our life lessons, is to find the balance between us and others. And it has a Mercury retrograde. So when Mercury retrogrades, people understand the United States a little bit more. But this eclipse is hitting right here. And that's what makes us happy.
And what is that?
It's the part of fortune. It's in this is what the indication is that the United States keeps growing. It keeps hitting plateaus and then evolving again. And it's not that we like it, but what happens is we have to go through it and then we like the results. It's coming from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And it's really quite powerful. This is other people's money as well. So this is also the area of the sniper. So guerrilla warfare rather than out and out charge of the light brigade. So so that does make a difference. But it's definitely powerful, very powerful. And we do have an obligation to take care of we feel that we have that obligation.
So
to take care
I have a question. If you consider the topic of now, right? Everything that has ever happened has led to this moment.
Right.
And everything that might happen in the future starts now. Every moment is a turning point.
Well,
it's an evolution, right?
Well, I would like to just say this. When I see the stars, those are things that have taken place a long time ago. What we see in our time, it's already happened. So I'm of the belief that maybe we're doing instant replay here.
Okay.
And that there
are many now. There are many now.
But yeah. I guess my question cuts a little at the heart of some of what astrology purports to tell. Isn't every moment the start of something new for all of us at all times?
Of course, because we are each a moment in time.
Right.
You know, the energy that when you take that breath, there's a certain rhythm that a cadence that takes place, and it's uniquely yours. And you carry that rhythm with you.
But then how do we then say, oh, well, be careful, because 2 weeks from now, it's going to be an important moment for you, when you could also say, well, starting now, right? Like,
Right. My hope when I do a consultation for someone is that I give them the possibilities that's mm-hmm. open. And okay. because it's always fluent. And so if they can start observing their life and observing their thoughts, they're living consciously then.
Yeah. Okay.
And if I could give everybody one thing when they walk away is to, I hope that they'll understand themselves in a way that they can value who they are. And like I tell my clients, stop taking credit for who you are, because you didn't put your DNA together. Right. And so you have to either be criticizing something that did, or you have to be loving and being grateful, you know, because we all have gone through challenges, but those challenges are things that have made us grow. To me, it's like grass coming up in the concrete. You know, it's like, but we're still here.
Keep Joey away from that grass. She might make me eat it for dinner.
She's good at
It's
that
good
stuff.
For you. It's good for you.
Yeah. Betty, always a thrill. I think we should, I've decided now, because I'm the boss of this show, that we're going to have you back here on a regular cadence. It's been too long. It's been like 100 episodes since we've had you on. Let's try and get you back in less than 50. How about that?
So that's, okay. Well, there's a lot of 50. Things coming up. So, you know, it would be a great time to...
maybe we'll bring her back for a New Year's show.
That would be great. Yeah.
Mercury will be retrograde on New Year's. So it goes direct on New Year's Day. So it's going to be a very...
chaotic holiday season. So,
be really careful about communications on New Year's Eve.
Start work on that and get me the lotto numbers for December 31st. And we'll call you then.
Well, maybe.
Bob Dylan and I are going into business together. He and I need to buy some tickets together. We're going to invest in that together and you're going to pick the numbers for us.
So I just want to tell your audience something about you two. These guys are the most generous people in the whole world. And they give their time and they give their love to lots and lots of people. And so I think people should know that about you. And
You're my mom.
God. Now, Duff has his sun sign in the house of the teenager. So he just just showed that.
We love you, Betty.
It's an all-night party here all the time. Thank you, Betty. We'll see you soon. Okay.
Love you guys. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
What are the takeaways from here? One, Bob Dylan and I are going into business together.
Right. That's a genius.
That's a thrill to know.
He's a perpetual teenager. Or has teen-like energy. And he speaks, he is a conduit for the unconscious voice of the people.
Voice of the generation.
Generation, yeah. All right. And there's an eclipse. There's an eclipse.
Coming up.
Yeah.
So we got lots. Hang on to your hat, people.
Hang on to your hat, you and me, because it's in both of us. All right. So what do you got for me today, WT?
Well, I found this the other day. I forget where I read it, but someone used the word in a way where it suddenly jumped out at me. A resume. Matt would like this one. It's a resume. It's a summary of what you've done. It's a resumming of what you've done.
That's awesome.
Which, you know, that's one of those words where it's like, you just think it's it's the name for the thing. And it's like, no, it's a summary of what you've done. It's a resumming.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So there's that. And then I've finally been reading some Aurobindo again. Revisiting his book Essays on the Gita, which is it's in the top two of my favorite books of all time. The other one is called Experience the Immortality by Ramesh Balsekar. But it's interesting. So Betty was talking about Bob Dylan and meditation in there, and she was mentioning it. She mentioned meditation a couple times. Anyone who's done meditation or actually more likely a yoga class, like a hatha yoga class, we tend to say om at some point, right? To open the class, to close the class. People use it as their mantra when they're meditating. And I'm not going to say whether this person or that person knows what it means, but I would hazard a guess that not a lot of people really understand what Om is about. And, you know, the yogic sages talk about how it's, we see it as OM, but it's really AUM. Mm-hmm. And it's meant to, it's a representation of sort of the three basic sounds that the mouth can make, right? So, an om, right? So you're open, I don't know what the actual terms are for the sounds, but the point of it is that as we try to go back inside, right? And get to the source of who you are, to the ultimate principle. The Om is useful because it is from that sound and that combination of mouth shapes that all words flow. So everything that's ever been said starts from there. So here's Aurobindo on Om. It's great. He says, all word and thought are an outflowering of the great Om. Om, the word, the eternal. Manifest in the forms of sensible objects. Manifest in that conscious play of creative self-conception, of which forms and objects are the figures. Manifest behind in the self-gathered superconscient power of the infinite. Om is the sovereign source, seed, womb of thing and idea, form and name. It is itself integrally the supreme intangible, the original unity, the timeless mystery, self-existent above all manifestation in supernal being. So next time you're in yoga class.
It's the sort of the underlying vibrational structure of the universe, right? It's like, and I don't know if you know, like the symbol Om actually is sort of shaped a bit like a three. And the top part of the three, I believe, represents the waking state. The bottom part represents the deep sleep state. That little tail that comes out in the middle is the dream state. And then above it, there's like a little dot and then a little swoop underneath the dot. So the dot represents the fourth state, the Turiya state, which is the eternal witness. And then that little swoop is Maya. It's the veil that sort of makes us experience all the different states, or so that we're experiencing the different states.
So now that we're just going deep here, from the Mandukya Upanishad, one of the great scriptures, they describe it as follows. A is the spirit of the gross and external, Virat. U is the spirit of the subtle and internal, Tejasa. M is the spirit of the secret, superconscient omnipotence, Prajna. And Om, the absolute, is Turiya.
Very nice.
There you go, people. Thank you for listening. We will be back with you in a week.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to How to Tickle Yourself with your host, Duff McDonald, and me, Joey of Rockledge. You can help us by liking, subscribing, and sharing this podcast with others. You can talk to us and see what else is happening on Instagram and Facebook at How to Tickle Yourself. This program was recorded in Studio B of the historic Rockledge Recording Studio. Right here, right now, our original 16-part theme music was written and recorded by the legendary Paul Reddick and Kyle Ferguson of the Sidemen, with Steve Mariner on bass and drums and in the mixing room. This podcast is produced and distributed by Stork Media. Our editor is Oscar Desiderio. Our producers are Kristen Verbitsky and Chuck LaBella. For more information, visit storicmedia.com. That's storicmedia.com.